May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. I have to say that prayer of the week, I thought, really wrapped up all the lessons that we hear today. And the college did a pretty darn good job as well. But I think I would change one word in it, where we pray, grant us, O Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things. I think what might have been a better word for this particular group of lessons is help us not to be so focused on earthly things, but to love heavenly things. Because the struggle in today's lesson is, you know, are we going to do Jesus' will or our own will? Are we going to do earthly things or heavenly things? How are we going to behave? And then the college does, it teaches us, help us when we're placed among, you know, the earth, with earthly things, you know, help us to hold fast to Jesus. Help us to hold fast to God Almighty. Help us to hold fast to the Holy Spirit and divine actions. And then what does endure? Well, being greedy really doesn't endure. We may think it does on earthly terms, but it doesn't endure. Christ endures. God's heavenly kingdom endures. And the love and the care that we share with one another endures. So when we go to the gospel, these are one of the gospels that, as human beings, make us feel a little bit good, because we can see that the disciples were very, very human. And that's the one thing about the Bible. The Jews were very honest, and they would tell everything, the good and the bad. I don't know if I would be so honest, you know, if I was going to write out my entire life. But they were very, very honest. So anyway, they were kind of on the way to Capernaum, but before then, like as they were going, Jesus was trying to teach them about the Son of Man, how he was going to be betrayed and killed, but then rise again. Well, remember last week how Jesus rebuked Peter because Jesus was trying to teach them some, you know, about the Messiah. And Peter, they didn't want that to happen. Because first of all, you know, if Jesus was going to be killed, they were afraid. They would be lonely. They didn't want it to end. They were very, very human people. And so Jesus tells Peter, no, get behind me. Because not that he was calling Peter Satan himself, but he didn't want to let Satan use his best friend against him to be distracted away from God's will. And so it was a hard lesson, but Peter definitely got it. Their idea of a Messiah was someone coming in on a white horse and defending them and killing everybody else that disagreed with them. That is not God's idea of a Messiah. Jesus is the heavenly idea of a Messiah. Someone who is willing to teach and heal and care for and love enough to even die for in a horrible way. But the victory is not the death. The victory is the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the love and commitment of the Holy Spirit, that as Jesus was risen from the dead, resurrected, we have eternal life. That's ours. Nothing can change that. So they weren't quite understanding what he was trying to teach them. And so it says here they were afraid to ask. I think I've been there. Ever hear something and kind of halfway don't get what the person's saying, but you think you do, but you really don't want to know more than what you do? Yeah. I think they just didn't want to know more than what they were already listening to. They were really afraid. They didn't understand. They didn't get it. And also, if they did understand it, then for themselves, it becomes real. And that's a scary part. So then what happens? They're walking on their way, and after they're hearing all of this about the Messiahship, they come to the house in Capernaum, and Jesus says, "Well, what, by the way, what were you arguing about?" Like he didn't know. "What were you arguing about?" And they were silent. Why? Because they knew they were wrong. They absolutely knew they were wrong. Because they were arguing about who was going to be greatest, who was going to be first, who was going to do this, who was going to do that. That is not Jesus' way. And they knew it. They knew it. Being humble, being self-giving, self-serving, that is Jesus' way. And so, he took a child in his arms. And believe it or not, the only thing that probably had less or worse status than a woman in those days were children. Children were beneath dirt. I won't say anything else. It was worse than we can imagine. That's what the child's status was in those days. And he took one of the children into his arms. It was probably a street child. Probably filthy. Probably, you know, like loud and noisy. But he took the child, not caring at all, into his arms. And what does he say? "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." He was trying to teach them that how you treat that filthy, maybe disrespectful, troublemaking child, however you treat that child, is how you're actually treating me. So it calls into question, how do we treat one another? Do we try to help each other grow? Do we try to help each other feel comfortable and encouraged? But all the time being like Christ and teaching in that way? Or are we like the disciples in the gospel, fighting for who's the best, thinking in that way? But then we have James, and James definitely got Jesus' way. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" And then the way we know if we're wise is, James tells us, "Show by your good life that your works are done." And he's assuming that we have good works, but they're done with gentleness and born, like come from, the idea of wisdom. Now we also learn from James that there is earthly wisdom. Doesn't mean that you can't be wise if you're not wise in God's ways. But we have to make a choice. Do we want to be wise in divine ways or wise in earthly ways? And the first thing that came to my mind when I read this was verse 6-8 from Micah. It's probably one of the only ones that I really know pretty much by heart, but I wrote it down just in case. "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God." We also learn from Proverbs that wisdom is the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, which is the respect of God, the respect of the Lord. And so here James is going and trying to teach us in a way and shows us the opposite of Jesus' way in which the disciples were behaving at that time. "For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will be disorder and wickedness of every kind." And then he goes on to say, but wisdom from above is pure and peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. And then he even adds a little bit extra, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. That is Jesus' way. And the disciples, they were behaving. They were having conflicts. And James says, those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are from within? And that's it. That he nails it. That's what's at war. He even says it. That's what's at war with us. We want to act this way. We want to be like Jesus. But we fail because we're human and we sin. And we act like the way we want to. So it's up to us to really walk with God. Not ahead of him, not behind him, but actually with God. We come closer to God by even talking to God, by having prayer time. I heard the other day that, what was it? It was, I think, on YouTube. Somebody told me that these kids had destroyed, the teenagers had destroyed a hospital's section that was, it was like a Christmas display or something. This happened last year, I just heard about it. For the children that had cancer. I'm kind of close, I think. And they wanted to know, well, how do we punish those kids? And one person, and I thought this was perfect, one person said, have them do community service in that ward with those children that have cancer. And I thought to myself, that is a good way to learn how they feel, those children with cancer, how their whole families are struck by their illness. And once you become close to someone, you become more understanding. And that's what they needed to learn. They needed to learn how it felt to have cancer, the devastation of the death of a child. That's what those children needed to learn. Not be in jail, but to actually have a relationship with those children in the cancer ward. And for us, we want to be close to Christ, we have to have a relationship with Christ so that we're one with Jesus, like he is one with God. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we live out our lives, we ask that you help us to be wise, to be pure, to be peaceable, to be gentle, and to really care and love one another, and most of all, you. Help us to focus on trusting and having faith in you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.